apologize. We had to get ourselves situated. Welcome to Rondell's Unpopular Opinion, everybody. Welcome to the Patreon, because they're going to get this first, followed by Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbay, everywhere podcast stream. Now, I know everybody has heard, I'm not even going to waste your time. I know everybody has heard the news about Diddy, the raids that were done via land, air, and sea, okay, that broke loose on March the 25th. It's always the 25th, right? The 25th is always something going on, right? And I don't want to necessarily get into that because I kind of really touched base on that via YouTube. What I am going to get into today is I'm going to get into the amended court documentation. I'm going to get into the amended court documentation because, of course, you know, I purchased it. And of course, I have other documentation. And of course, I have the list of all the documents that have been associated to this case. So we're going to get into that. We're going to get into Diddy's assistant, okay, or one of his assistants, rather, or aka his mule. And we're going to pick these new amended documents apart. That's essentially what we're going to do today, okay? Because, you know, this is a mess. This is a mess, y'all. So let me just add in is that we have some changes that have taken place, okay? Thus the reason for the name being amended. Amended means change. When you amend something, that means you change it. I want to show y'all first, all right, if you're on Patreon. I want you guys to take a look at the changes that have taken place. Okay, I'm gonna move me out the way. First of all, let's get into the logistics of this case. Now, if you are on Patreon, you could clearly see here, right, that this is the Rodney Jones, aka Little Rod, versus Diddy and the gang. This is the lawsuit that basically was filed February 26th of 2024, okay, about a month ago. Now, I want to get into the actual nature of this case. Now, as you can see, it says that James Paul Octon, hopefully I'm saying that correctly. If I'm not, I apologize. That is the judge assigned to this case. Okay. As per Pacer, the last update to this case was March the 27th, which is today. Okay. And the date of the last known filing was March the 26th. I want y'all to pay attention to dates because remember, this raid happened March the 25th. Things were going on, and I'm going to show you that things were going on right now. Hold on a second, y'all. Let me just get up for a second. We're going to look here how things were definitely going on, okay? The whole month of March with this case. So before we get into that, I want y'all to see the nature of what we're dealing with here and how serious this is, okay? This is indeed, they have updated this to racketeering, RICO, nature of the suit, 470, racketeering, corrupt organization. This is why the feds raided Diddy's properties. Yes, Jeffrey Epstein's Florida home was indeed raided. Okay? They were pulling receipts from Amazon of BDSM material out of his trash. I seen the receipts and the initial documents that came out in 2020. So, usually when the feds are raiding you, they're looking for something. And they're looking for something for a specific reason. But they have some sort of evidence on you. They're just looking for the real good stuff to really get you hook, line, and sinker. But I want y'all to see what this has been upgraded to. Okay? So, this is a serious case. Now, look at all, and I'm gonna zoom out so you can see. Look at all of the updates that have taken place within the last month of this case. Okay? Now, originally, Rodney Jones was asking for $30 million. All right? When this case first came into fruition. We have here March 5th, right? Case designated. All right? March 19th, we have a filing error that was done here. Okay? We have an update here from March 20th. Right, but I want to go down to March the 23rd. March the 23rd was this past Saturday. March the 23rd was very, very imperative. Very imperative. Because this happened. Okay? This happened. And what this is a notice of voluntary dismissal. And who was dismissed from this case? Ethiopia was dismissed from this case. Now, if you don't know who Ethiopia is, she is the former CEO of Motown. All right? They say she's worth between anywhere between $1 to $5 million. I believe she's probably worth a little bit more than that. If you really do your research on who she is, she definitely does seem like she's a heavy hitter in the music industry behind the scenes, which is very uncommon. For women, especially black women, to be in the music industry. Now, how does Ethiopia come into play in all of this? Well, Rodney is basically alleging in the lawsuit that in the initial one, in the amended documentation, that UMG, Universal Music Group, and Motown funded the Love Project, the Love album, gave money to Diddy. And Diddy, in return, used it for allegedly sex trafficking and other illegal activity that they benefited from. But I want you to see here that this was a motion here, a notice of voluntary dismissal. So we're going to get into this, okay? And this here states, right, that pursuant to FRCP 41 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, the plaintiff Rodney Jones hereby gives notice that the above captioned action is voluntarily dismissed with prejudice against defendant Ethiopia Habibamariam only. She is dismissed from this lawsuit. March the 23rd, she is dismissed. This is a Saturday. This is a Saturday. Okay? Now, so ordered, the clerk of the court is directed to terminate the below-named defendant from this case. They said that that became official tissue March the 26th. That was yesterday, which was Tuesday. The raid was Monday. This notice of voluntary dismissal was put in on Saturday. Y'all see this? And remember that Tyrone Blackburn is the same attorney who was representing the alleged victims in the Tiny and T.I. situation. He's based out of Brooklyn, New York. Now, why is Ethiopia dismissed from this case? Ethiopia could have wrote a check to Rodney. Could have. But I find this very, very interesting that Ethiopia is out of this case. What does this mean for Lucian? And Christina, the assistant, because they calling Christina the Ghislaine Maxwell of this whole situation. We're going to get into these amended documents, okay? Because if there's one thing that has changed, all right, and these are the amended documents here. Now, as you can see from the top, and I'm going to zoom in a little bit, okay? If it's one thing that has changed, I want y'all to see that they're telling you here, okay, that Ethiopia's name is not listed. And on top of Ethiopia's name not listed, they have added a name. And that name is Cuba Gooding Jr. He's named as a defendant now. These documents were filed this week. Now, again, a lot of these documents are the same as far as the information of what's in them. But I want to get into certain key points that stood out to me. Okay. What we're going to do is we're going to go down to section 196. This is a very, very detailed amended complaint. Okay. As you can see here, they say that there's a section here that says that Sean Combs is allowed to wreak havoc. Do y'all see that down here at the bottom? We're not going to get into that though. Okay, we're not gonna get into that. I want to get into section 196. As you can see, they're saying that he had a tech guy and everything else. We're not gonna get into that. We're gonna get into this. Defendant Mr. Combs supposedly hired a private investigator. Supposedly hired a private investigator, Russell L. Green, to seek out, harass, and bribe individuals to provide dirt on Rodney Jones. Now, Section 196 is telling you here that on or about March 2nd of 2024, meaning in the beginning of this month, y'all, Rodney Jones was informed by a close friend from his church that Mr. Combs's engineer, Matt Testa, provided an individual's phone number to LA-based private investigator Russell L. Green. Follow me now, okay? Now, as you can see, here's the text message of the conversation. It's Russell Green. Blank gave me your number. Are you able to speak with me? Okay, now upon information and belief, Mr. Green attempted to bribe the anonymous individual with a certain amount of money in exchange for her producing text messages or any evidence that this individual could produce to paint Rodney in a bad light. During a call with Mr. Jones, this individual expressed fear for their safety and the safety of their family. This is a clear example of some of the tactics implemented by Mr. Combs and the members of the Combs RICO and TVPA enterprise. Okay? Now get this. Besides contracting the individual previously mentioned, Mr. Green contacted Mr. Jones' 8-year-old daughter. He solicited information from this child about her father until she cried in fear and handed the phone to her mother. At that time, her mother hung up the phone. Mr. Green proceeded to text her. She informed him that she did not want to be bothered, and he continued to send her unwanted and harassing text messages. And that info was all over Twitter. Don't those allegations are also on Twitter. As you can see here at the bottom, they're telling you here that Diddy has been harassing the plaintiff's 8-year-old daughter. And also, what's different about these amended documents is that the record studios, Shalice Recording Studios, has been dropped from this, but the charges against them are supposed to be refiled in California, not New York. Now, I want y'all to look at this letter here. We're going to read this letter together before we get back to the lawsuit. All right. Because this is in regard to Ethiopia being dropped from the lawsuit. This is a letter to the judge. I am writing to provide Your Honor with an update regarding the above referenced matter on the plaintiff. On March the 21st, the plaintiff entered into an agreement with defendant Ethiopia. Under this agreement, in exchange for a declaration that will be appended to the forthcoming amended complaint, the plaintiff has agreed to dismiss all claims against Ethiopia with prejudice. Furthermore, the plaintiff has elected to dismiss the claims against the record studio. Okay? Although they have been in constant contact with this writer through threatening emails and letters, the remaining defendants have yet to appear in the case. Mind you, this is dated March the 23rd as well. Moreover, defendant Sean Combs has attempted to contact the plaintiff through third parties to persuade plaintiff to terminate this writer and hire counsel who has a relationship with Diddy. These actions have compelled the plaintiff and his loved ones to file a police report. This writer has raised concerns surrounding this harassing behavior, and they have doubled down and indicated that their harassing behavior will continue. Consequently, the plaintiff has reported these actions to California, New York, and New Jersey state bars. Regarding defendants United Music Group, Lucian, and Motown Records, their representative has declined to engage with this writer's with this writer, despite several emails requesting a call to discuss the plaintiff's claims. He has sent multiple contradictory emails and letters filled with empty threats. He went so far as to misleadingly represent that he is counsel to Ethiopia, a misrepresentation that was promptly discovered through discussions with Ethiopia's actual counsel. See the games that the lawyers are playing behind the scenes? Despite reminding him of his professional duty to engage with opposing counsel to seek resolution on behalf of his client, he chose instead to hurl insults and boast about his legal experience spanning over 50 years. This is the letter written to the judge. About what has been going on. And it's been a mess. A hot ass mess. What we also need to look at, okay, is section 231. We need to look at that section. We do. Okay? Because it's imperative. It is. And it needs to be talked about. So, on page 52 of this, Here's what was crazy to me. Okay. Where it tells you here that the defendants in this case did not disclose to the individuals that they would be solicited, right? For anybody who worked for them, that they would be solicited drugged and required to sleep with sex workers and forced to work days at a time without compensation. Okay? That part I did not know, as far as him not getting fully compensated for his work. Okay? And it also states that they went as far as to threaten Rodney by telling him that if he left, he would not be paid for the work he had done, would not be allowed to return, and would not receive the promised Grammy Awards, participation in future projects, cash payments, and meetings with influential music industry executives. Insane. Okay. And what's even more insane is Section 234. Okay? Because this is where we get into the sex trafficking allegations. Like, really get into it. So they're telling you in this section, okay, that upon information and belief, defendants Lucian, in his capacity as CEO of UMG, authorized Motown Records and UMG to provide financial resources to Diddy, Love Records, and Love Records through wire transfers to defendants Sean Combs and Love Records accountant Robert Greenhill. Upon information and belief, Robin Greenhill ensured the wiring, funds transfers, or cash payments to sex workers were also completed. Now, Christina, who was the right hand, right? The AKA the Galena, this allegedly, that's what they're calling her. Through her direct reports, Frankie Santella, Moy Bond, and Brandon Paul, who was arrested the other day, would negotiate the fees the workers received and would ensure that the workers are paid, and one of the men is detailed above. According to Rodney, Diddy bragged about having several women on monthly stipend. Who is one of those women? Carisha Romika Brownlee, aka Young Miami. Jade Ramey, aka Jade, and Daphne Joy Cervantes Navarez, aka Daphne Joy, who were paid a monthly fee to work for Mr. Combs's sex workers as Mr. Combs's sex workers. So we're gonna run that back. According to Rodney, he stated that Diddy bragged about having several women on a monthly stipend. According to Rodney, the women who received these payments were Carisha, Jade, and Daphne Joy, who were paid a monthly fee to work as Diddy's sex workers. Based on information and belief, they received payment via wire transfer from Robin Greenhill. Baby. It is unclear if defendants Lucian, in his capacity as CEO of UMG, Motown Records, and UMG, requested an audit of Diddy and Love Records financial records to ensure that the financial support they provided to Diddy and Love Records as part of their general business partnership was not being used to pay Carisha, Jade, and Daphne. Baby. This thing be a legend how You got Young Miami transporting drugs for him, allegedly. This amended complaint is a trip without its luggage. I'm telling you. Very much so a trip without its luggage. But this is what sparked. This is what sparked, in my opinion, the raid. Defendants committed multiple acts of sex trafficking in violation of 18 U.S.C. 1591. Sex trafficking of children by... sex trafficking of children or by force, fraud, or coercion. So they came looking for evidence. But by then, we already know that the evidence was all destroyed, more than likely. It was gone. And I want y'all to see something, okay? Before we move on. I want y'all to see how they have receipt of Ubers, of transporting the workers, okay? To and from. You see the Uber receipts here? The driver's names and everything. And here's what I also want you to look at. I'm gonna zoom out for a second so you can see the chart. They have a chart here telling you that Diddy's property in Miami. Now, this was the stuff going down in Miami. You know, the same mansion that he had the New Year's Eve party at that everybody in the industry used to go to. I want y'all to see. Okay. I want you to see. The chart. The workers in the last two digits of their cell phone. And the dates they were there. January 30th, the 31st, the 1st, and the 2nd. The second worker was there. February 8th, the 9th, April 4th of 2023. Worker number 3. This is crazy, y'all. And if you see, certain girls overlap certain days. So number... Excuse me, y'all. Number 3 and number 1 overlap with number 5. So 1, worker 1, 3, and 5 were all there on the same days. Okay. So this is crazy. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm going to be very, very honest with y'all. In my opinion, number 7 was busy. She was busy. Let me tell you something. I literally feel as though, because they say that Diddy's agent reached out to Rodney for Diddy to work with Rodney. I don't know if this was a setup. I don't know how it logistically, the amount of tangibles that was collected and documented and recorded during his time and tenure working with them. This is just, it makes you wonder, was Rodney an agent? Was this a lineup? Was this a setup? I mean, we got Uber receipts, we have screenshots. You know, this is some detailed stuff. This is detailed stuff. We have photographs. We're gonna get into this guy here. We're gonna get into Brendan Paul, because he was arrested the other day. As you can see, he got pills in his hand here. They're accusing him of being the drug mule. This shit is crazy. Now, this is the TMZ article that was released, okay, today, where they basically showed that Diddy's associate, Brendan, was arrested, and they got the body cam footage now. I'm not going to play the footage, all right, but that's him. That's his mugshot. They talking about he 25. That's a hit 25. And they're telling you here that he's with Diddy. Diddy is here. So we know that Diddy was in Miami. Diddy was at the airport. So the question is what happened after Brendan got arrested? What happened? Now they're calling him the mule. Now look, Paul was booked, right, on two charges: possession of cocaine and possession of suspected marijuana candy, both of which are felonies in Florida. He was released out on bond. Now, cops claim that they found drugs in his travel bags while the feds intercepted Diddy's plane, where he was rolling with BP as well as his own kids and other folks in his entourage. Bruh. You know what's crazy about this? You know what's so crazy about this? Now, they're saying that he played ball for Syracuse University from 2018 to 2020. How the hell did this dude get into the likes of Diddy? That's what we want to know. The fact that they got rolled up on and ran down on, I want y'all to... This is what I mean when I say that certain things are more probable. And I said this on YouTube today, that things are more probable to be true than they are likely to be false. The fact that Rodney stated that Brendan is a mule for Diddy, he alleged that. And the fact that when the feds rolled up on him, he had drugs in his possession. Not only does he have drugs in his possession, we also have photographs in the amended complaint with him with drugs on him. Now, let me tell you something. It's not looking good at all for Diddy. Other than him being clowned by 50 Cent on social media, all you got to do is put his name in the news section of Google. And I want you to see what's going to come up. This is the news mill. Y'all see this? Sean Diddy Combs won't disclose antics with Justin Bieber in resurfaced video. So now they're starting to pull up all these videos, all this stuff of when things were off with him. They saying that Justin Bieber was 15 at the time. Of course, Twitter comes up in the news mill. at this. Super creepy clip of 40-year-old Diddy with 15-year-old Justin Bieber goes viral. We're going to continue to see how this plays out. But all in all, that is the amended complaint. And actually, I'm going to leave the amended complaint in the description of this video. This is crazy. Diddy is done. We have said this. And this downfall is going to be something colossal. He's done. Y'all drop down in the comments and y'all let me know what y'all think about it. How did Ethiopia really get out of this? A check had to have been cut. Drop down if you think it has been cut. Let me know your thoughts. I love y'all. Y'all know this. Y'all take care and y'all be well. All right, peace.